Today we continue with the Christmas reading from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A man by the name of Fred Culbertson has documented over 530 phobias that he has gathered from various medical journals and psychological journals through the years. He actually has posted them on a website. Let me just read five of them to you, probably names you'd never heard before. Ablutophobia, the fear of washing or bathing. I think my roommate had that in college. Francophobia, the fear of French culture. Bufunophobia, the fear of toads. Tonitrophobia, the fear of thunder. And autodissimophobia, the fear of someone who has a vile odor. Now, some of our phobias can be rather humorous at times, and yet, if you talk to people who truly suffer with an actual phobia, you can find that they can be very paralyzing at times. Some people find it impossible even to leave their homes. The word phobia that we use in our English language comes from a Greek word for fear, and it's very prominent in Scripture, and especially in our text here tonight, or this morning, I should say, as we think of Christmas night. St. Luke describes the fear that the shepherds have. I'm just going to read a short phrase in the Greek so you can hear the word phobia in it. Ephobethizon phobon megon, like mega. And it's translated in the King James Version, they were sore afraid. That probably doesn't do it justice. The Greek here means that they were afraid with an intense fear. In fact, it would almost be difficult to come up with a different type of wording to show how strong this fear was in them. It would have been interesting to actually see their reaction that night, the type of fear that they had when the angel suddenly confronted them. Now, what causes this kind of reaction? We would like to think that if an angel appeared to us, we would find that pretty comforting and pretty nice and easy and very warm to take that in and have that experience for ourselves. But that's certainly not the way it comes through in Scripture. Whenever an angel or a group of angels appear, we see this very reaction, this terror that is suddenly struck in the hearts of individuals. Now, why does the sight of an angel produce that level of fear? Well, there are really kind of three reasons for them. Let me kind of address each one of them. It's not only that it's something that is out of the ordinary, that appears to be so supernatural and something that's unknown, but now, confronted with this kind of personage, you are in the presence of a powerful creature. Your vulnerability is now being exposed as a human being. And there is often this overwhelming sense of defenselessness. So that's the first maybe reason or wave for this fear. The second is this, that you are now in the presence of a holy angel being confronted with a standard of perfection. Here is a representative from heaven, from the side of God, and is representing his holiness and his glory. And that is just overwhelming. Now, we sometimes sense that same insecurity in ourselves in much smaller ways. I've had people that have worked in law enforcement that have told me that when they, as the standard of the law, the bearer of the standards of the law, when they have sometimes stopped people on interstates, on the highway, in town, that sometimes the people that they stop will tremble. People have broken into tears. There's something about being confronted with someone who has the law above you and has this authority over you that there's a sense of fear that can take over a person. You can even sense it maybe sometimes in yourself. If you're ever in a conversation with someone who is suddenly expressing something about a moral issue that you maybe wrestle with, or a morality subject that maybe they are the bearer of a higher standard than you yourself have lived up to, we can sense inside of us a little bit of an intimidation. Now, that's just a tiny little thing. But it's that same issue that goes on now when a sinful fallen human being is in the presence of a holy representative from the very throne of God. But then it's also the fact that they come to represent God himself. And that is why these creatures can be so terrifying and so disarming. We're told that even the disciples, when they were with Jesus during his earthly ministry and had been with him probably for a year and a half to 2 years and knew him very well, when they suddenly went up to see him glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration, they fell on their faces trembling and terrified. Now, this is the very one they knew. This is the person that they had been with all the time, and yet to see him in his glory with just a glimpse of his radiating glory was enough to intimidate them and terrify them to the ground. And what it does is it produces in us fallen people, this general sense. If this is how intimidated I would be in front of just a representative from God who's holy, How am I ever going to be standing actually in front of God Himself? How terrifying must that be? Well, the message of the angels breaks through that fear. Notice that the first thing that the angel says is, "Do not be afraid." Isn't it kind of neat to know that the first actual sermon preached about Christmas started with that to sinful people like us? Do not be afraid. We think we have every reason to be afraid of God when we consider our sins and our death in front of us and judgment and everlasting destruction. But he comes and he says the first message out of his lips to us, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The first thing that God addresses in us is this fear. The first thing he wants you and me to do is, by his grace and through the work of his Holy Spirit, take that phobia, that fear of him and judgment and everything, and just throw it away. Just put it aside. Just get rid of it. He says, and here's the reason we can do that, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." You know, when you're in the presence of a little baby, boy, there's just a whole different response that comes out in us. People who have recently had a little baby will say, if they're walking with that little child in a stroller through the store, people who would never before have come up to talk to them will suddenly come up and gather around that little baby child. We think about how Pharaoh's daughter, when she was out and looked down into the river and saw Moses in the basket, probably almost any other age of child, she wouldn't have sent someone down there to find that little child, but she just had to be in the presence of that little baby. There's something very warm and comforting like that. Some of you maybe heard me tell this story before. My grandfather had a book of stories that got passed down to me. And back in the 1940s, there was a prison over in Russia, a woman's prison, a female prison. And apparently the women there were the most vile offenders that they would send to this prison. And they were unruly. No one seemed to be able to control them. One day, a brand new warden and his wife, the wife who had a little baby in her arms, was walking through that prison with this little infant in her arms. And all of these criminal women came rushing to the fence to see that little baby. And it just made them all be quiet as they watched the little child go by. A completely different response in them. And they decided, the warden and his wife decided to set it up that for good behavior, you could be rewarded with coming to help watch the child for about an hour every week. And it completely changed the dynamics of things in that prison. This is how our holy God from heaven, who could intimidate us so easily, how he has chosen instead to come and have you know him in the face of this little infant child. What else could God have selected that could have been less intimidating? What else could he have selected that could have been more inviting and more tender, more of an expression of his love and his mercy, his compassion, his grace for you, and the fact that he wants you to come and be by his side in heaven? This is how your God wants you to know him and how he invites you to approach him. Oh, come, let us worship him in this Christmas season. Amen. Please join me then in the prayer you'll find on page 148. Page 148 in the front part of your hymn book. Page 148. The collect, which is number 11. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that of your mercy and compassion you caused your Son to become incarnate, and through him redeemed us from sin and everlasting death. We beseech you, enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may ever be thankful for such grace, and comfort ourselves thereby in all tribulation and temptation, and at last obtain eternal salvation. Through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.